Hello, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Grab It Quick News. This is the 9th episode of season 5 of my podcast. One more episode left, and you know what? We are completely done with season 5. This will be my final season. And I really want to say thank you to everybody who's listening, and I'm just having such a blast. I am enjoying my soft girl life at the moment, and it seems to have come just in time for spring and summer. Yes! Our first story is about a viral video of an ungrateful woman refusing to go on a first date to the Cheesecake Factory. A woman went viral posting a video on TikTok of an alleged first date with a man. She was all dolled up in green with lipstick color in the purple family. This woman in the video refuses to get out of the car because her date took her to the Cheesecake Factory. The man in the video heads to the passenger side to help her out of the car. He offered to get the door. She can be seen saying, "Okay," but assuring her followers she was not getting out. "I ain't getting out this car," she says before waving her finger. "No. This is the Cheesecake Factory," you can hear her say several times. He asks, "What is wrong with that?" "This is a chain restaurant. Who takes someone who looks like this to a chain restaurant?" Shocked that she is filming on social media, the woman's suitor asks if she wants to talk about it, and he was fine with being filmed to discuss what was wrong with the choice of restaurant. She then says, he says, "You expect a man to go all out on a first date? Is that right?" The woman explains that when a man courts a beautiful woman, he should cherish her and treat her well. The man said he also went into the date with expectations, which included treating her like a gentleman and respecting her, but he also had expectations from her to be just as respectful. He mentioned that she was not being a good date and that it started long before they pulled into the parking lot. He argued that she would not let him into her house. She countered that it was too early for their relationship to afford him access to her personal space. He pointed out that she was also late and kept him waiting. The date said he had planned to take her to a nicer restaurant, but because of how late she was, they were unable to keep the reservation. He then showed her the canceled reservations. Her entire energy changed, and she asked him to try to go to the planned date location, or at least to a similar restaurant. But by then, he was over it. "Look at me. I can't go in the Cheesecake Factory. I would die." Many on social media questioned the woman's attitude about the first date and eating at the restaurant. One said, "She's not fine enough to act like this towards the Cheesecake Factory, and I'm positive she knew he wasn't her type before she left with him. She doesn't like him. That's all this is. This is why y'all hoes, poor and lonely now," one person said. Another person said, "She didn't like him, no way. She was just hungry and wanted to feel superior. Why waste your time and energy even going out?" One guy seemed to side with her feelings about the restaurant, but didn't understand her reaction. "I also don't believe the Cheesecake Factory is a horrible idea for a first dinner date. She's acting like they pulled up to Bojangles," one said. The date went downhill after the exchange. It ended with him driving her home. "I don't have a lot of rules. I don't have a lot of expectations for a first date," he told her. "I have already said them, and you've broken every single one. I'm sorry," he said before telling her he was dropping her home. "All right, whatever," she said. "I guess I understand. You gotta do what you gotta do." Her response seemingly showed it all. She knew she had blew this date. Our second story, here are 5 telltale signs that you're in a relationship with a covert narcissist. So when we think of a narcissist, we probably picture someone whose behavior is grandiose, entitled, arrogant. That is known as an overt narcissist. But there is another, lesser known type of narcissism that often flies under everyone's radar. It's called covert narcissism. And while a covert narcissist's behavior may be less obvious, it can be just as harmful as those in their orbit. Like overt narcissists, covert narcissists lack empathy for others, they use manipulation to get their way, and have a strong drive to feel special in comparison to other people. But the way the two different types of narcissists try to stand out is different. Covert narcissists don't feel special by virtue of positive qualities like attractiveness or intelligence. They feel exceptional because of their pain or suffering, agreeing with statements like, most people don't understand my problems, and I'm temperamentally more sensitive and compared to other ones. Overt narcissists may appear quiet, introvert, anxious, or even depressed. It takes a while to see the self-centeredness and entitlement in these narcissists because it's often indirect and it comes out of them as anger about other people's success and insecurity and defensiveness about not being appreciated. It's also important to know that narcissism exists as a continuum. It's a trait all people possess to varying degrees. You can have narcissistic tendencies in a certain area of your life without meeting the clinical criteria for full-blown narcissistic personality disorder, or NPD, a diagnosable mental health condition. Covert narcissism is not a formal diagnosis, but it's a term mental health professionals use to describe a certain manifestation of narcissism that has a lot of anxiety, insecurity, and neuroticism along with it. So what does covert narcissism look like in a romantic relationship? We're going to go ahead and go through some of the signs that you should watch out for. Number one, they constantly play the victim. No matter the situation, somehow your partner is always the injured party. Because they channel their grandiosity into being the most misunderstood or aggrieved person in the room, covert narcissists always have to win in the game of who was hurt the most. One of Malkin's clients, a psychologist, had a boyfriend who predictably turned the conversation to how neglected he felt whenever she brought him even the smallest request, even something as simple as putting items back in the fridge. Even when you thoughtfully try to voice a complaint, your partner will say things like, "You don't appreciate me," said another therapist, Miss Wendy Beharry, author of Disarming the Narcissist and founder and director of the Cognitive Therapy Center of New Jersey. They will always feel criticized, let down, and unsupportive. So if you find yourself apologizing anytime you feel hurt or misunderstood, that could be a sign that you're living with a covert narcissist. The second, they seethe with jealousy when the spotlight is on you. While grandiose narcissists are particularly pushing people out of the way to be the center of attention, the covert narcissist is quietly sitting on the sideline, getting judgy, feeling envious, feeling insecure, feeling resentful, and fantasizing about being in the spotlight. There's a lot more neuroticism, a lot more hypersensitive to not getting this extraordinary attention they think that they deserve, never feeling appreciated enough. This psychiatrist also noted that covert types tend to have more trauma or abuse in their upbringings. Let's say your friends threw you a celebratory dinner for promotion, you go at work. If your partner is a covert narcissist, they'd have a hard time playing second fiddle during your big moment. The covert narcissist is just boiling inside and will find other ways of punishing you or trying to banish you from the moment of glory. And they will do it by bringing the attention perhaps to their own suffering, their own victimization. It can also look like vulnerability. The third, they brood or act out instead of saying what's really on their mind. A covert narcissist wields emotion in a manipulative way. Any vulnerability that they show is more display than genuine feeling. If your partner collapses in tears or withdraws into sulky silence when you ask for help with chores or dare to suggest they ask you about your day, the feelings may be more about getting you to change the topic than expressing genuine need or reaction. Covert narcissists don't really trust people enough to state their needs and feel directly and clearly, so the emotions never quite feel genuine. In fact, covert narcissists often brood instead of saying exactly what is on their mind. The next one, they suck all of the air out of the room. A covert narcissist believes their problems are more important than yours or anyone else's. For that reason, they feel entitled to airtime. If instead of a hug or hello, you're greeted with an angry tirade about mistreatment at work or endless stories about how everyone else is treated better and has more advantages, it's a strong indication that you are with a covert narcissist. The last one, they are extremely defensive. This may show up as defensiveness about one's lack of achievements or negativity and hostility towards some other person's success. Covert narcissists, both insecure and hypersensitive, which can make them very difficult to deal with. They are constantly seeking reassurance and validation, but are also quick to become defensive and react angry when they feel threatened. How can you cope if your partner is a covert narcissist? When you're in a relationship with someone who dominates every emotional exchange, it's all too easy to put your needs aside and ignore your feelings and lose your voice. Covert narcissists can make it so unpleasant when you ask for anything at all that it feels simpler to just stay silent. But when you do, you're nurturing a relationship where your partner's pain is always more important than yours. It is crucial to process of holding on to your center, psychotherapy says. It's important to become keenly aware of the intricate game playing of the covert narcissist through your clear observation, your intuition, and your own research. Renew your promise to be faithful and true to yourself as an individual. Develop a practice of mindfulness that keeps you psychologically grounded. Honor and maintain stable, steady boundaries. A psychologist said that she often coaches her clients on how to plan their departure, whether that's from a toxic conversation with their partner or from the relationship. Find a way to say when you're more ready to speak about this without the escalated feelings, without the accusations, without the blame. When you're ready to have a heart-to-heart, I am happy to talk to you about this. And really stepping away, because it can be exasperating to constantly be in the throes of feeling like you're being accused of being a bully. You may also consider setting an ultimatum. If your partner doesn't seek professional help, you can no longer stay in the relationship. The therapist also noted that therapy is typically required to make any meaning sustainable changes in these kind of relationships. The psychologist's biggest advice for partners of covert narcissists is to work on finding your voice and feeling sturdy in your skin, because that's something that gets lost in the drama of living with people with this type of disorder. All right, we've reached the second half of my podcast where I give advice to my listeners who have wrote in. A gentle reminder, if you're not 18 or older, you should have your parents' permission to listen. All right, let's get it in. My first letter is from a male in North Carolina who writes, "Dear Jessica, I'm in a long distance relationship. I was supposed to see my girlfriend over the weekend, but she didn't want to see me because of her quote unquote mental health." And I just want to say to my viewers, mental health is in quotes. "I ended up inviting my ex over, and to cheer me up, we had sex. I am not in an open relationship. Any advice?" Whoa. So I'm going to say by this letter, you're probably a young man and you do not know the power that you hold in this relationship, because I feel like you just gave it away when you cheated. I'm also picking up just from what you wrote me is that you're very self-centered and selfish. I want you to think about a time when your mental health was failing you. And I mean, when you were in a deep, dark place and the person that you needed the most, you were too ashamed to show them that darkness. And so you said, "I would rather you not do it." And then once you get out of that place, because I don't think people realize sometimes when you're depressed, it can take days, weeks, months, years. So once you get out of that and you feel like yourself again, you're going to want to see your special person. And then that special person is going to say, "Oh my gosh, I'm so great to see you," that kind of stuff. And I feel like this letter, you missed an opportunity. In this letter, it lets you know that you really don't care about your girlfriend. You care more about yourself. Because mental health doesn't just mean, like, I want people to take it serious. I don't want people to be like, "Oh, well, you know, mental health, quote unquote." That could mean that she is in a dark place. She is thinking that she doesn't matter. She's thinking suicidal thoughts. That's what that means. So now let's go ahead and remove that. And I'm going to reread you this letter, and I want you to see how much of an asshole you sound, okay? "I'm in a long-distance relationship. I was supposed to see my girl over the weekend. She didn't want to see me because she was in a dark place and possibly suicidal. So I ended up inviting my ex over to cheer me up, and we had sex. So why are you down?" Yeah, I just wanted to do that. So I'm going to say that life is full of chances. And Drake always said, you know, life is like pictures. You just take one. Or chances is like pictures. You take one. So I feel like you took the wrong picture. This was your opportunity when your girlfriend said, "I'm having a bad mental health. you should have elaborated and said, hey, what issues are you having? Because I want to be there for you. I'm your man. I want to be that rock, and I'm going to be that rock for you. And if it's too much for you to take mentally, then you let her know that, hey, that's out of my capacity, but I am here. And that didn't happen. So I'm going to be honest. I don't think you should be in this relationship. I think you need to break up with her, because what I'm reading is a very immature person. And I always like to tell people, the universe loves to give you karma when you least expect it. So I pray that you are not on, that, as the kids say, you're not down bad, and this happens to you. Thanks so much for the letter. Our second letter is from a female in Michigan. Excuse me. She writes, Dear Jessica, my 5-year relationship. I'm sorry. This is from a male in Michigan who writes, Dear Jessica, my 5-year relationship ended almost a year ago. It was not toxic or abusive. I am out of this relationship, and I am now realizing that I am not an ugly man. Women try to talk to me all the time, and I've had a few try to hook up, but I can't because I am still in love with her after she broke my heart and broke up with me. What is wrong with me? Well, thank you, male from Michigan, for writing the letter. I'm going to say nothing is wrong with you. You were in a 5-year relationship, and you obviously took it very seriously. And you just said it wasn't a toxic relationship or abusive. If anything, you guys may have grown apart, and you guys may still have feelings. A relationship that is over 1,000 days of being together. That's a long time to be with somebody. It's a long time to get familiar with behaviors, patterns, and just our inside jokes. And you can feel a little like you're betraying that person, even when the relationship is over. So I don't want you to feel like that. I want you to feel like you can move on. And the way that you do that is you just keep trying. You get on a dating app and you swipe left or you swipe right, and you just keep trying until you don't feel so bad. I also want to challenge you to do some inner work about your confidence, because it says that in this relationship you didn't realize that you were an attractive man. So maybe we need to work on our you know, confidence level, because you're an attractive man and people are going to want to be with you. So maybe we want to make sure that our inside is as attractive as our outside. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with you still being in love with your ex. It's been less than a year. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you wanting to take things slow with someone else, because again, you just got out of a very long relationship. A 5-year relationship, if there's no marriage involved, it can kind of make you feel like, oh my gosh, I just wasted all this time. And I don't want you to feel like that, because everything in life is a lesson. So that relationship may have been preparing you for the next one, right? But no, just hang in there. I think you're going to do great. Thanks so much for the letter. Our last and final letter is from a female in Alabama. She writes, Dear Jessica, I was in a 5-year relationship. Here we go with this 5-year relationship, huh? When I say I did everything in this relationship, Jessica, I mean I did everything. Everything is in all caps. This man ignored everything in and about our relationship. He took me out one night for our monthly date a few months ago and informed me I informed him I no longer wanted to be in this relationship. Since then, he has been doing the most. He has sent me flowers to my job. He is coming home from work and making meals for me. He has even started wanting to watch TV shows and read books together. I am happy he decided to change, because this is what I wanted all along, but it feels like it's too late. My question is, why are men willing to damage a woman but dismiss their involvement in the damage? Ooh, this is a good question, female from Alabama. I'm going to say that a lot of men, it's not necessarily about them knowing about the damage. It's just that a lot of us are not
vibrating at a high level. Okay. So you guys know I'm a like yoga yogi, and I love to talk about enlightenment, empowerment, and how that can help you. And I feel like a lot of the things that we have, a lot of the issues we have in our relationships, it has to do with how we feel about ourselves internally. And it has to do about the level of vibration that we are at. When you are at a higher vibrational level, you realize that karma is real, and whatever I do, it's going to come back to me. What goes around comes around is a very true statement. And you also realize that kindness is free, and it's one of the most valuable things in the world. That's how that goes. You also start taking care of yourself. You also don't want to be around certain people. You don't want to be around gossip, drama. That's vibrating at a high level. It takes a long time for people to get there, especially if they have been taught, not just from society, but from their father figure. And not just from their father figure. Now we go to their mom, who's tolerated the behavior of the father figure. It's very hard to break that low vibrational vibe that they're at. So we have a generation of people who are no longer wanting to be gentlemen. They want to be the rogue. And usually the rogue, all that means is that I get to have sex and go. I don't actually have to have any emotional responsibility. I don't have to take care of anything other than myself. And I get to be self-centered. I get to be selfish. And I get to leave a lot of bodies in my wake, and consequences be damned. That's what low vibration is. Low vibration is when you don't care about anything other than yourself. You are only thinking about yourself. And we have a lot of people, and I say people, I don't just mean men, I mean men and women in our society in this day and age, who are vibrating at a low density because they enjoy the drama. They enjoy those low vibrational feeds that they're getting. So I don't necessarily think a lot of these men know the damage that they're doing. I think they think it's a good time, not a long time. So I can do whatever I want. But as we age, we know that everything has a consequence. This is why most men are the majority of the demographic in nursing homes, right? That's why, you know, most men over 50 who are single have a higher suicide rate than women over 50, right? And we know that because women have had to build these networks. We have had to practice. What goes around comes around. Let's be kind. We practice that all the time. Men don't have to do that. They're told, take life by the balls and you squeeze them until you get what you want out of it. These women are here for your pleasure and your pleasure only. So you do what you need to do with it. So that's why. If anything, I like to give my family members, especially like my younger nieces, my daughter, I like to always give them advice about, in this day and age, you need to make sure that you are taking care of yourself. You need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself financially, emotionally, and mentally. So that way, when you are dealing with someone like this in that capacity, you won't stay so long. 5 years is a long time to be in a relationship with yourself. And I say that because you said it. You were doing everything in this relationship. So think about if you stopped. Think about, had you not told him you were leaving and you just stopped doing the work, how would that relationship have looked? And I think a lot of women, we do that where we don't really think about, if I stop giving this man 100% and my 50 and just let him give his 50 and I'll give my 50, how this relationship will look. I think once women stop doing that, you can actually see who you're compatible with, because it's okay if you guys have great sexual chemistry. It's okay if you guys have a lot in common. But at the end of the day, if this person cannot meet you 50-50 or 100-100 in your relationship, they're not for you. And I feel like a lot of us are doing this because we want a relationship, we want a man, or this is something that we have seen played out and we want to play that out. And I think a lot of us have to start manifesting the life we want. So that means if we know that we are wasting 3 years out of the five with this person, and that 3 years we could have found somebody else, then we need to do that. So I hope the lesson that you learn from this is, don't waste your time trying to make a relationship work, because if it's a real relationship, it will work. And you know, people, I say, well, if a man wanted to, he would. Sometimes men don't know.
But let's also stop putting it all on the man. You're a strong woman. If you are able, think about the energy that you put into that relationship. Think about if you were able to put that energy into your business, your degree, your family members. That's what you got to start focusing on. Because I'm going to tell you now, a real man, he likes an ambitious woman. He likes a woman who has drive, who has motivation, who is not focused on him, who is not going to provide for him. A real man is not going to want you to pay. A real man is not going to want to see you hurt. And a real man damn sure ain't going to cheat on you. And he's not going to wait until last minute to get his shit together. So that's a part of that. But the answer to your question is, we're dealing with a lot of low vibrational people in this day and age. And it will take things like this where you are asking the question. Because it always starts, your knowledge always starts with a question. And then you get smarter by getting the answer. And once you have the answer, you can do more research for yourself. And once you do more research for yourself, you can then apply it to your life. And once you apply it to your life, you can then manifest what it is that you want out of any relationship. So that's really where we're at. So thanks so much for the letter. All right. That's all the time we have. Thanks so much, Team Grabbit. Remember, be good or be good at it. Bye.